Good evening. If you have a Bible with you tonight, Matthew 27, verse 27. Matthew 27, verse 27. So we sometimes do a kids dismissal. And so if there are kids in here that are confused, they started in the gym next door. So kids, if you want to head over now, I see some stickers in the audience. You're free to do that. You're also free to stay. And there goes my son who didn't start in the gym. And okay, good. He's not the only one. That's good. Whew. Matthew 27, 27 through 31. Before we read, as we think about this final day living for Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, you have to know that of all the Gospels, Matthew spends the most time on Jesus' final week. It's interesting. He spends more than a fourth of his entire Gospel on these last 7 days that Jesus is alive. That's 400 verses, 7 chapters, all centered around Holy Week for Jesus. And so tonight we have a lot of material in the gospel that we could choose from, but tonight I've chosen just 5 of those 700 verses, Matthew 27, 27 through 31. We'll read and then we'll pray and we'll get started. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him, and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight to remember the final day of your son, Jesus. And God, as we turn to these 5 verses in the Gospel of Matthew, God, I pray that as we see the work of the soldiers, God, that as we see their work, that you would convict us, that you would challenge us, that you would help us to realize the gravity of what was happening this Good Friday so many years ago. So God, as we look at the soldiers, as we study your word, I pray by your spirit that you would help us to see, to understand, to be challenged, convicted, and yet also at the same time, encouraged. So help us, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. The title in my Bible for these 5 verses is "Jesus is Mocked." I don't know if your Bible has a title above the section. It seems like a pretty short little section to have a title, yet the more you look at these 5 verses, you realize the title could not be more spot on. Everything in these 5 verses points to the truth of what's happening here. Jesus is mocked. Typically, when you study the crucifixion, the emphasis is not on the mocking of Jesus, but the emphasis is on the brutality or the pain that Jesus experienced. The blood, the torture, the suffering, the physical pain of the cross. I remember seeing a movie with such an emphasis, The Passion of the Christ. Over 20 years ago, I could not believe it's been over 20 years. But then I was in college, and I remember walking out of the theater. the darkness of the theater, the darkness of the movie, and walking out into the sun and being overwhelmed, especially overwhelmed with the pain and the torture of what Jesus experienced that Friday. And certainly that's all true, and that happens to Jesus. But here in Matthew 27, that's not Matthew's emphasis. Not the pain, but the mocking of Jesus. And so what do I mean when I say mock? Or what do we mean when we see the phrase, Jesus is mocked? Well, this isn't physical abuse, it's verbal. The definition that I found for mocking, it's to show contempt for someone. Maybe through imitation or belittling or ridiculing. And as we think about how we see mocking today, I mean, we certainly recognize that there are all sorts of levels or types of mocking. Maybe like me, you mock out of fun or just with friends from now and again. That's my style. I like to give people a hard time, and I receive my fair share back, especially when you look at the teams that I cheer for. Or maybe more seriously, you know what it's like to be bullied. Now, that's the word I think we use today probably more than mocking. As a parent of kids, I know what it's like to have your kid come home experiencing something done by someone else where their feelings have been hurt. I remember my youngest son coming home one afternoon when someone in the neighborhood had made fun of him. And that's not a good feeling at all. Or perhaps you've seen the movie Wonder. If you know the movie Wonder, I remember our family watching it together. It's the story of a 10-year-old little boy named Augie who had 27 surgeries done to his face, which left him with significant facial deformities. Do you know the movie? Otherwise, outside of the surgeries on his face, you're still your typical 10-year-old boy. And as the movie progresses, he finally convinces his parents he's ready for the fifth grade. At this point, he had never gone to school, but now finally his parents were going to let him go to class. I mean, I can't imagine what that would have been like for little Augie. And as you might expect, the other classmates in the movie are completely awful. They're awful. They mock him and make fun of him. The main bully in the movie is a young boy named Julian. He starts a cruel game called The Plague, where anyone who touches Augie has 30 seconds to wash their hands or they will become infected like him. And he's sure to make sure that Augie knows about the game. But the most awful part of the movie, the most painful moment is when Augie on Halloween, when he's unrecognizable by the people around him because of his Halloween costume, he overhears his closest friend, his only friend, a boy named Jack, telling Julian, the bully, that he only hangs out with Augie because he was forced to. Quote, "I would kill myself if I looked like him." And Augie hears this. I mean, it's awful. Bullying, mocking, and this is what we see Jesus faces in Matthew 27. Now, before we get to our five verses, we have to remember what has already happened on this particular day for Jesus, this Good Friday. Before verse 27, Jesus has already been dragged through a series of six legal trials. So before you had your cup of coffee this morning, Jesus was met by a mob, punched in the face, and dragged around trial after trial, telling him he was guilty. The Jewish leaders had made up their mind. He was a blasphemer, claiming to be God, and the punishment for blasphemy was death. But there was a problem that they start to realize as the sun comes up. They have no right to pursue execution. This was only allowed by the occupying powers of Rome. So they bring Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor, and tell Pilate, not that Jesus was a blasphemer. Pilate, as a non-Jew, a Roman, cares nothing about what Jesus claims to be. So instead, they bring to Pilate a different charge. Jesus has claimed to be king. Pilate now is bothered by this, though he certainly feels like maybe this doesn't deserve execution. And after trying to reason with the crowd, we read how the situation starts to get out of control. Let's read the five verses before the five we started with. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. So this is where Jesus was when we pick up in verse 27. He had just been scourged. A whip with metal and bone shards on its tips. Bloody Jesus thrown before the Romans, and this is where we see Jesus begin to receive the mocking. The text tells us in verse 27 that he is in the hands of the Roman soldiers. Where was this happening? Well, Matthew tells us this is the governor's headquarters. This was some sort of outdoor amphitheater. We can go and see what this would look like today inside Herod's palace, where Matthew tells us the number of soldiers. We're told in verse 27 that this is in front of the whole battalion. Now, there's not agreement on just how many soldiers this would have been, but somewhere between 200 and 600 soldiers. And the text tells us that the hundreds of soldiers are gathered before Jesus. So picture this: an outdoor theater, all these hundreds of soldiers standing before Jesus like they're waiting for a show to begin. And remember, these are non-Jewish soldiers. I mean, you have to think some of them had no idea who Jesus was. Why are they acting this way? Why so much resentment over a man who they believe is a rival king to Caesar? Well, there's no good explanation. We're not exactly sure where this came from, this level of brutality and mocking. But this is what we see. How is Jesus mocked in these five verses? Well, for one, he's mocked shamefully. I mean, did you catch what they're doing? They are mocking Jesus by imitating a king's coronation. Look back at the verses. This is what they're doing. They are pretending to give Jesus a ceremony where they recognize him as the new king. Shamefully mocking him, laughing at him. Let's look at what they did. They strip him naked and they put on him a scarlet robe. This is the color of royalty, probably one of their own robes, but it is the color of the king. They twist together a thorn of crowns, the text tells us. This isn't about the pain of the thorns. That's not what Matthew's pointing out. He's talking about this is the crown of a king, of a victor, of an athlete who's just won a prize, or someone in the military who's just won combat. A reed was put into his right hand. This was used as a false scepter. knowing, though, that reeds are nothing like actual scepters. They are limp and easily broken. This was their way of showing Jesus his own weakness. And then, to top it all off in this fake coronation, they kneel down before this, what they believe is a want-to-be king, and they say, "Hail, King of the Jews." A lie in their minds. Mocking him, a fake conversion. And then we see things take a turn in verse 30. Jesus is now mocked brutally. If those first several verses through 29 is the coronation, now is the anti-coronation. Behind the curtain, what they actually were feeling as they went through the logistics of the coronation. Verse 30, now instead of kneeling in reverence, they spit in contempt and they mock him. Verse 30, the scepter, which was the representation of the king's power and authority, it is taken from Jesus, and the reed is used as a switch to beat him on his head. Verse 31, they strip off the scarlet robe. They replace it with Jesus' own robe. And now, if there's been any question about what side they fall upon, now it is abundantly clear. They despise Jesus. And how does Jesus respond? Well, Jesus is mocked willingly. I mean, he just doesn't show up responding in the text. And in fact, if you go and study how Jesus responded most of the day Friday, Jesus is silent. Silent. He doesn't shake his head, roll his eyes. He doesn't resist. He doesn't fight back. He doesn't speak up. Time and time again on Friday, Jesus remained silent. He gave no answer. And here again, we see it. Jesus is mocked, and he is mocked willingly. And you can't help but think after reading these five verses about the irony of what's happening. The twist of what the soldiers do not understand about what they have just done. How what they expect to happen is the opposite of what is actually true. That in those first three verses, they were actually speaking the truth. Jesus was the king. He has majesty and power and authority, and he is due their worship. He is due them saying what they said, "Hail to the king." But the irony, they mock his weakness, but his silence was actually strength. They believe they are humiliating Jesus by pretending he's this powerless, weak, wannabe king, but at the same time, without knowing it, they are proclaiming the greatest truth in history. The man who suffers before them, he is indeed the King of Kings. Jesus is mocked. And if you go through the rest of the story, not to just heap onto the soldiers, it's not just the soldiers that mock Jesus. Everyone's going to mock Jesus. Jew, Gentile, soldier, common man, ordinary people walking by Jesus as he hangs there crucified, they all have an insult for him. You know, as I studied this passage, I could not help but wonder for us today, how do we mock Jesus now? How do we mock Jesus today? How do we belittle him? Here's the way I'll put it. Mocking Jesus is pretending he matters while living like he doesn't. Pretending he matters while living like he doesn't. I mean, do we do that? We say the right things. We attend the right events. We do the right things. We give the right amount. We pretend, but in reality, we in our hearts, Jesus is nowhere on the throne. I think of the words in Revelation 3, Jesus to the church at Sardis. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Mocking Jesus. Reputation is not the reality. You're going through the motions of a coronation of a king. You say and do the right things, but in reality, it's not where your heart lies. Matthew 15:8, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The fake coronation of the soldiers. I mean, do we do that? Of course we do. Of course we do. But thankfully, Jesus came to die for the mockers. Right? Because it is convicting. Like we are the soldiers in the text. We may want to distance ourselves and see, oh, how awful what they have done. Oh, but we were at the cross. And we are like the soldiers in many ways. And Jesus still came to die for those who mock him, for the soldiers. And aren't we thankful for how there is a change in the soldiers? At the end of the text in Matthew 27, we see a response from a soldier that we long to have ourselves. Verse 54, when the centurion and those who were with him, when the centurion and other soldiers, that is, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. The response of the soldiers. Not mocking, not pretending, not belittling, but hailing Jesus as King in awe of who he really was and is. And so tonight, this is what we remember. Though we mock, we thank him for the cross, that he came to die for the mockers. Let's pray and then we'll take communion. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the story of the soldiers. May we see ourselves in them. Certainly different, but certainly true. Pretending to feel and to act a certain way towards your son, but in reality, our hearts are not there. How often we are guilty of this. Help us tonight to see our guilt, to see how we pretend. And in our guilt, may it bring us to our knees in gratitude for the cross, in conviction for what we've done, yet in gratitude that Jesus still went there for us today. And so, Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the Son. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.